For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Subscribe to the Hit That Line podcast network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned. Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Chuck, last time I blamed my coworkers for taking my coffee cup. Turned out it was my fault. I found myself once again not seeing my coffee cup this morning. Is this one of those things where it's a prank, you think? Or did I misplace it once again?
I have no idea. But based on your organizational skills, might have been you.
Might have been me. Well, I guess we'll find out at some point this morning. But I'm drinking out of a different coffee cup as we get rolling on a Hot Take Monday. It's not my typical West Rock coffee cup that I enjoy drinking out of.
Got some blonde on the
That's
side.
That's been in the station for like...
Yeah, that one hasn't been washed either, to be honest.
That one's been there a while, yeah. I know.
The prod room,
it's just
right?
It's just been sitting there at that point. But outside of misplacing my coffee cup, Chuck, we've been discussing this this basketball team. We've got more baseball and football to get into. Sam Pittman said some interesting things about the quarterback, but kind of just heard it all from us there. Like, that's a team that's number one offensive team in the country. They've only lost twice in their building all season long, and you took them. They had to play every bit of that second half to beat you.
Guys, I got to ask you first. Did you see the fight in the women's basketball game?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable, man.
LSU and Carolina.
That girl's brother coming out of the stands. I mean, it was a boring Sunday afternoon for me. I'm not going to lie to you. There were not many great games on. And I turned that on, and I'm watching it. And it was, you know, it was a good game. And then the, man, the 6'7 girl, she clocked her.
Oh.
And if that had been, and I'm just going to say it. I'm just going to say it because I know everybody said it, and I'm just going to say it on the air. If that had been a 6'7 man knocking down a 5'10 guy in an NCAA tournament men's game, it would be all America is talking about today. That's the cheapest shot I've ever seen a girl take on the basketball floor. And the other girl's brother comes out of the stands.
He made a quick move. That was a quick move by him.
Oh, man. He is a quick cat.
Yeah.
Now. That's the thing I noticed.
Now, who was quicker?
I mean, he was on the floor before anybody even knew what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, no, I didn't know who that was. I mean, we're watching. And then, you know, the cop that followed him was pretty darn quick as well.
Yeah.
And then there were like two or three others. Now, we're talking about the SEC Women's Championship game, LSU, South Carolina. About 2 minutes to go, there was, I don't know, we go full-scale Donnybrook, but there was a little bit of a throwdown.
Yeah, and it was so you've got Angel Reese, who's one of the more prominent women's basketball players.
But
and
she
I
didn't have anything to do with it.
I listened to her after the game, and what Kim Mulkey Robinson said, or Kim Mulkey said, was that, like, I wish she would have gone after Angel Reese because they don't like each other, that post player for South Carolina and her. But Robinson, or Kim Mulkey, was very angry after the game, and Staley kind of took blame for part of that. I thought the coaches, what they said both, were very different following that fight.
Well, Staley was trying to keep her player from being, you know, kicked out of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Staley needed to be apologetic because her player was so clearly in the wrong
mm-hmm.
in what she did. And she's trying to, you know, make it And I understand her strategy. She's apologetic. She's fallen on the sword. She's going to direct the lightning toward her and try to keep her player out of trouble and on the floor. Now, you know, Kim Mulkey, for all her charm, can be very unvarnished at times. And she was after the game. But she was 100% right. She might not have said it in the politically correct way that people say things now, but find me one thing that she said after the game that was wrong.
Yeah. Well, number four for LSU instigated that whole thing, but
she could have obviously done things differently in the way that she reacted.
Yeah.
But now there was a lot of talking in that game, and mm-hmm. I thought the South Carolina players really got in the LSU players' faces. And but I also say this, even with the replay, even with the two officials spending 20 minutes at the scores table, well, that was the best entertainment of the afternoon.
I mean, I played, Ty and I played golf yesterday, so I was drinking heavily.
I know it was better than that.
Yeah, I know, and I was drinking heavily following the round with a group of guys because I was trying to right myself. And then, this comes on. We don't even have the sound up, but it everyone in the room, it drew their attention. We were glued
absolutely
to the TV.
Absolutely.
We were glued to the TV. And, you're right. It took 20 minutes. I mean, there was a lot to unfold there because the players coming off the bench for both teams got ejected because that's the rule. The players involved
got ejected. They finished the game with, no bench on either side.
I was hoping it would go to overtime somehow.
I thought the officials overreacted in kicking all the other players out. I don't care what the rules say. Common sense has got to take over. The idea that you're going to have people coming out of the stands.
Yeah.
Oh, but you got to stay on the bench. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life. They should not. I mean, look, kick them out of the game. That's fine. But the idea, and I guess they're not going to be suspended. Maybe the fighters will be, and they should be.
Yeah.
I think the girl for South Carolina, if they kicked her out of the whole tournament, it wouldn't bother me. And I'm not a fan of either team, quite frankly.
Yeah.
No,
I think she got
a half. Go back and look at that. If that had been a male player in a male game, it would have gotten a lot more reaction than it has. Dawn Staley did a very good job of directing the lightning toward her when the game was over. And it's almost as though we're not even focused on what the South Carolina player did, because you just don't see a guy's brother come out of the stands every day.
No. What you had there, for someone that hasn't seen it, tell me if I'm right here, it was a blindside block in football. That's what she did. She came up from the blind and just put her in the floor.
She pushed her.
Yeah, put her in the floor. It's a blindside block.
Well, she's 6'7", and the other girl's 5'8".
Yeah.
I mean, it's not hard to figure out what happened.
Yeah.
It was aggressive. That was the SEC women, and really all the women finish their sport a week early prior to the men. They have a week off, and then they'll have their NCAA selection this next weekend. So they had a lot of spotlight. Caitlin Clark in Iowa, I know, won the Big Ten tournament in overtime, I think, against Nebraska. The SEC, and I don't think South Carolina's lost a game this year, so they are the team to beat right now.
They almost blew it against Tennessee.
Yeah, they're the team to beat right now on the women's side of things. So there's, again, a lot of storylines with those two schools, Caitlin Clark and Iowa, and they had a good chunk of people watching those games this weekend. On the men's side, the best game of the day was Kentucky and Tennessee, where Reed Shepherd just almost single-handedly led Kentucky to a win, back and forth game. I would say that was easily the best college basketball game of the weekend. And I'll say this, those Kentucky freshmen, they're starting to hit on all cylinders at the right time. I thought Tennessee might be the best SEC team to have a chance to make the Final Four. I've kind of shifted my gears thinking that Kentucky's probably that team.
I think they both can get there. But now, if I was going to make a dark horse pick to win the national championship this morning, I'd pick Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think both of them are very capable of getting there. Tennessee's capable of winning the national championship.
Yeah.
You got to remember, they're not going to play. They're not going to cut down the Nats in the Final Four for nearly another month. There's another ebb and some more flow before this thing's all said and done.
Yeah. So let's talk about the game you were at Saturday. Arkansas had a 15-point first-half lead. I thought, we talk about how close this game was, at the end because the final result went to overtime. But really, is that lead was chipped away at the end of the first half, and Arkansas found themselves really on the short end of the second half. I thought at the end Arkansas was going to be able to make the shot or make the play, but You never felt comfortable. Even
well,
going into
did
halftime,
until they didn't call the foul.
Well, okay, but you know, you never felt. I never felt comfortable. Like, hey, Arkansas is going to win this game.
No, I didn't feel that way. There was never a point where I thought, hey, we got this in the bag.
Yeah, even up 15.
I never thought. Well, no, I mean, you know, you're on another team's floor, and they've lost there twice all year long, and they play very well in that building. I mean, of course they were going to make a run, and got frenetic there at the end, and Alabama won.
Yep, you mentioned that play. Here was Muss after the game when asked about, hey, what are they going to do following the non-call?
That hasn't happened for us all season long, quite frankly. I mean, I saw the body contact, but it's not worth commenting. It's not worth sending things in. Alabama beat us, no excuses, but there was contact with Kai. Whether they're going to tell us that after reviewing, we'll find out tomorrow that it was missed, but it just doesn't change the outcome of the game.
So Trevin said basically the same thing in the post game. Why even waste your time of sending that to the SEC? All they're going to tell you is be like, hey, we missed the call. Sorry. I mean, I completely understand where Eric Musselman's. Everyone in the building saw that was a foul, except apparently the three officials. I mean, it cost you the game, period. End of story.
It was a big part of the game. I mean, you go up five there, and Mekhi's shooting like 84% in conference play from the line. I mean, you're up five right there. You probably win the game. But now, Muss said something there at the start, and it's just the reality of sports. People can argue until they're blue in the face, but they're arguing against human nature, and that's why they lose the argument. Teams that don't win games don't get calls. It's just that way. It's that way in sports. It's human nature. Nobody sets out to be that way. Nobody says, okay, the better team's going to get the benefit of the doubt. It's just how it happens. It's how it happens in life. If you're not winning, everything goes against you. That's how it works. And that's how it's worked for Arkansas this year in basketball.
It does seem to go that way. But I also think there's something buried in the psyche of an official that inside the last minute, down at crunch time, you want to make sure you're 1,000% right. You had three, like you said, three sets of eyes on that. You want to make sure you don't want to put air in a whistle and be wrong and change the outcome. Now, sometimes
well,
you when you don't
be wrong
put,
by not putting air in the
well,
whistle.
Well, that's exactly
too.
What I was getting ready to say. Sometimes by not blowing the whistle, you're just as wrong, but no one remembers the call very often that you didn't have. They always remember the call you do have.
Let me say one thing before we go on. I don't think in terms of the SEC and the NCAA tournament, that's a bad thing. I think the SEC's turned into the old Big East. I mean, it really has. I watched North Carolina and Duke play Saturday night, two finesse basketball teams. North Carolina is more physical than Duke, but those are two finesse basketball teams. I'm telling you, in the SEC, you go into that paint, it is proceed at your own risk. That's how the old Big East used to be. I think it's going to serve the SEC well in the NCAA tournament if they let them play. If they let them do those things inside, it'll benefit the SEC. Now, if it doesn't, but you know, the one thing you notice in college basketball, at least I do, you don't see a lot of games anymore where the best players are getting three fouls with like 9 minutes left in the first half.
Yeah.
You don't see that anymore. Well, and I don't think you should.
Because why?
Because they're not because they're letting the game flow more.
Well, okay.
And the officials have done a good job of letting it flow, but you can't let people club people in the lane. You just can't.
Well, because the game is better when the best players are in the game.
No doubt about it.
The game is better when the best players are playing. So you've got to figure out who the best players are, and when there's a marginal foul, don't put one on the best player both ways. Because the game is more entertaining, it's better to watch, it's better to broadcast, it's better to officiate.
I'm in full agreement.
When the best players are playing.
But it doesn't mean at the end of the game that you get to beat the hell out of each other inside.
Well,
I agree. It doesn't mean that you don't blow the whistle inside the
minute. 1,000% right. But one thing
it's not a pickup game in the rec league where no blood, no foul, at, you know, when it's game point.
But one thing that we have to understand together is when the offense initiates the contact, that's not a foul on the defender. When the offensive player is dribbling and driving to the hole and the defender is legal and rises vertically or holds their ground, what has the defender done wrong? You can't penalize a legal defender.
I'm saying when Nick Pringle clubs Mekhi Mitchell on the head,
that's a foul. That is a
that's
foul.
All I'm saying.
And it doesn't matter if it's in the final minute or in the first minute of the game.
I'm in total agreement.
You've got
but
to
do we agree that the game is better when the best players are playing?
I do agree with that. That's why I made the point. Yes. I don't think when we get to the NCAA tournament, I don't think it's going to be as ticky-tack as it has been in some years. I think it'll be more than the regular season.
All right, okay, I'll go with that.
But I don't think it's going to be as much as some years.
This text in from Mr. Pibb on the McCarty-Daniel hotline. What makes you more mad? The no call on Mekhi Mitchell or battle not driving to contact the end. Caleb ended up 11 of 11 from the free throw line, has really dominated in that area. I think that's really – I threw a bottle when Caleb took a fadeaway three. It reminded me of Wendell Green years ago against Arkansas when he took like a 30-footer to try and beat the Razorbacks and they went to OT. You can't do that in that situation.
Well,
go to the rim.
If he made it, everybody would have yelled money.
No.
Yeah, they would.
It would have been, no. Oh, it's one of those shots where you have Muss on the sides. What is he doing? It went in. That was a terrible shot.
I agree with what you're saying. He made a read and he made the wrong read.
Yeah, and there's what Muss said on that, on just the final shot.
There was no need for the three. He made a read and you live with that as a coach. So don't want to put the blame on any shot or any one play, certainly. But we had the ball in the guy's hands we wanted, running the clock down. And because it was 11-11 from the foul line, certainly would have preferred a dribble drive and try to see if we could get to scoring in zone one. You know, having said that, we had a dunk that didn't go down. And then we had defensively, we gave up a couple catch and shoot threes without making them floor the ball. And really those few plays are the ones that would stand out right now without reviewing the film.
I would submit to you that some of the things that were happening in the lane in terms of the fact that you weren't getting any calls at this part of the ball game maybe led to that. You're right. If he dribble drives with 8 minutes left in the game, he's 1,000% certain to go to the free throw line. But it wasn't a minute before that they clubbed a guy in the head and nobody blew the whistle. So how do you know you're going to the line? I'll submit to you, if Battle had driven the lane, they'd have probably clobbered him. The shot wouldn't have gone and we'd have gone to overtime. And we'd have screamed about how they hadn't called a foul.
I hear you.
I hear you, Ty, but at that point of the game, I don't know that they're going to call it.
You've got to put the pressure on the official in that situation.
Caleb bailed out
Alabama in that basketball game, as good as he's been in this stretch. You bailed out the Crimson Tide at the tail end.
That's a fan take that is too hard.
How did they bail out Alabama? Please tell me.
You took a fadeaway NBA type of shot.
He didn't take a good shot. That's not bailing the other team out, Ty.
In that situation, you put the pressure on the officials in Alabama. You try and get to the rim. I would not have screamed or yelled or anything if a shot had gone awry or if he got hit and got, I would have been mad at it. But in that situation, again, Eric's pretty mild in that take there, but you have to go to the rim. I hate when any college basketball, it's not just a Caleb Battle thing, any college basketball player tries because they watch too much NBA. They think they can do Steph Curry. They think they can do this other stuff that's fade away, like the fadeaway threes or anything like that. And it's just not typical of a college basketball player's arsenal to make that shot. You want, in basketball, you try and get the best, highest percentage shot. And that is one of the worst shots that you can take during the course of the game.
4 or 5 minutes left in the game. You're basing what you're saying on Battle drives to the rim. He's 11 of 11 at the line. They're going to call the foul just like they did 5 minutes ago. No, they're not. Mm-hmm. No, they're not.
Chuck's right.
They're not going to call the foul with 5 seconds to go when you're driving to the rim. You can get thrown on the floor. They're not going to call that foul. They're just not.
So,
I hear what you're saying. I don't fundamentally disagree with a word you're saying, Ty. I want you to know that. But the idea that after the fact, when we're sitting here talking about how they won't blow their whistle at the end of the ball game under the rim, to sit here and say, well, the guy should have gone to the rim because he'd have gone to the foul line. We're talking out of both sides of our mouths.
So you know what?
I don't disagree with what you're saying. I just don't think it applies right
here. See, you know what's worse than a bad shot? No shot.
Yeah, okay. That's, I think
well,
that's
I mean,
pretty...
we've seen that before where you dribble around, you're trying to, and you get no shot off at the end of a shot clock or the end of, I mean, at least they got a shot off. You know, I hear what you're saying. I'm with Chuck. I agree with you, but you know.
I think in that situation, but just what happened on the previous possession, like we talked about, where Makai got that no call, I think that the officials, again, they swallow their whistle. That was what you said on the broadcast, Chuck. They swallow their – they don't in that situation. There's no way there's two back-to-back plays
we'll never know.
Again, that's the situation.
Well, that was not a power crew. That was not an all-star officiating crew that worked that game, all right? Doug Shouse was not out there. Terry Oglesby was not out there for this game. You've got guys that they're trying to beat the film.
Well, they didn't beat it.
Well,
at all.
Well, you know, but that you did not have, and I was surprised you didn't have a little more of a presence with some of the big. There was not that was not a big time crew by any stretch.
Well, speaking of officiating,
no, it was not.
You sure you want me to read this? This is not me saying this, by the way. This is from Caleb. I guess his hot take this morning.
Tom, this is from a minute ago about what we were talking about driving the lane.
Tommy Kraft is an idiot. Don't let him out of the stadium on anything the officials do
because
he's a complete moron. What a fool.
What did I say about driving the lane that was wrong, though?
Yeah, but you wear that striped shirt, man.
Well, you know what? I wore it for a championship game last week, so eat it.
Funny.
But, you know, you can't penalize.
You're an idiot.
Well, you know, anyway.
Fool.
I'm a fool, yeah. You can't penalize, though, a legal defender because the offensive guy drives
that.
The lane a million miles an hour and runs into somebody.
I agree with that.
That's not a foul on the defender.
I think the way they've changed that this year's been good. I'm not arguing with that. I'm saying whatever.
When you get hit in the head, that's a foul.
However you're calling the game, man, when somebody clubs somebody on the noggin, that's a foul.
That's an automatic foul and this isn't a clubbing, but when you drive into someone's chest, and their arms are straight up, what's the automatic reaction from the defender? Your arms are going to come down because you got hit in the chest. That's not what happened on that play. But when you get hit in the head, that's pretty much automatic most of the time.
Mason texted and said the basketball team isn't even worth arguing over. Y'all should talk about the baseball team.
Well, maybe so.
Well, the baseball team did have a... So we're going to hear more from Dave Van Horn coming up. And Chuck, I know you're predominantly busy with basketball, but we did see the Arkansas baseball team run rampant yesterday, 18-5 after some... I guess a better outing, and I guess it was game two. But offense got going yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at me, I didn't see much this weekend.
We were listening
to the scores, and I know that they did well.
Yeah, we're listening. I watched a little bit of the games on Saturday. We were listening to it yesterday. At one point, McNeese State was up 5-4, Tommy, and then all of a sudden, Arkansas's bats got hot. You had Lovich, Stovall, good to see him back in the lineup, and some other guys that really stepped up. I think Lovich is leading the team right now in RBIs, but McLaughlin had himself a dandy of a day yesterday.
Yep, and got one more non-conference game next weekend, Missouri, an SEC play begins.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit ArlingtonHotel.com for more details. That's ArlingtonHotel.com.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963.
McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile device. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use the promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
So he is headed to TCU. Had some pretty good recruiting classes under Jimmy Smith on the running back side of things. Arkansas had the number one rushing attack in Power 5 in 2021. Coached a lot of high school ball 10-plus years at Cedar Grove before coming up to the college ranks. Guys, and it sounds like they've replaced him with Colby Smith.
So think about this. On Friday, practice was that morning. I assume Jimmy Smith was at practice Friday morning. And then by the afternoon, he's coaching at TCU. I mean, you bring this up all the time with different stuff. But, I mean, this is where we're at now. You coach one team in the morning and another team in the afternoon.
Yeah, it sort of sounds like the way it went down. My understanding was they'd been pursuing him for maybe several days. I'll just put it that way. And I was not terribly surprised to hear that it had happened. But, he was a Razorback when he woke up, a Horned Frog when he went to bed.
So Ken O'Briles is there. Obviously, he coached under Ken O'Briles. Colby Smith sounds like the guy that they've hired. Bobby Petrino has worked with him in a couple different stops at Western Kentucky and Louisville. He was a grad assistant for Arkansas in 2012, addition to that. And again, according to reports on 247 and other places, it sounds like he is going to be your new running backs coach. So not only did this happen, like you said, in a couple days for that, sounds like they kind of had their guy in mind who they wanted to replace him with.
Most of the time when you have a change on staff, the wheels have been in motion long before the public finds out. I just put it exactly like that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they've known for several days now there was a pretty good chance Jimmy Smith was leaving, and I'm sure they've known for several days now who they were going to hire. That's just kind of how it works.
Oh, and in regards to the running back room right now, I know people have been kind of wondering what that looks like. Sam Pittman had some positive things to say about the new running back from Utah, Jackson, and also Braylon Russell, the freshman that's pretty good from Benton, too.
They bring something to that room, and Braylon's fast, when he gets turned north to south now, it's a load coming at you. But the thing I've seen about him, to be honest with you, is his vision. He got really good vision. We saw JJ jump cut today and things of that nature and make some guys miss other than just running around them or running over them, and those are some things. Anytime you have freshmen and portal guys, you're just, every time they do something, you're going, I didn't see that on film. I didn't, and it's been in a positive way, watching JJ's Utah tape, it was a lot about speed and running over guys, but I mean, he's got some ability to miss in a small area, make guys miss in a small area, and so does Braylon Russell. So I've been really pleased with the addition to those two guys.
The phrase that Pittman used there, making guys miss, Arkansas's running backs have not done that the last 2 years. Now, 3 years ago, they did, and the best running attack in all of Power 5, but that has been an issue. Chuck, I remember us talking about Isaiah Gustav at the tail end of last season. We felt like he was doing that more than what we had seen the running backs. Had fresh legs to help him additionally, but at least you like to hear. I know it's spring. Again, we're 160 some odd days from actual football, but that is at least some encouraging positives that you're hearing about the running back room for those two.
Well, you have to make some guys miss. I mean, there are times that you've got to do some things on your own. Just like there are times the offensive line may open a great hole and the running back trips or something happens. And sometimes the offensive line doesn't do their job. And sometimes when that happens, you're dead meat. But, you know, you do have to have the ability to make some guys miss. And hopefully they'll be able to do that.
That needs to be a strength for this offense to work. I know that we think about Ryan Mallett and Tyler Wilson, Joe Adams, Jarius Wright, Greg Childs, and the passing attack. But, I mean, you had Nile Davis in 2010 that was running wild. He got injured. 2011 was more by committee with Dennis Johnson and the fellows. But they need to have that strong running attack to help out Taylen Green and help out the rest of the offensive line, and just need the offensive line to be productive. I was intrigued to hear Sam Pittman talk about that he, in the offensive line side of things, he's going to be kind of Eric Mateos' GA to a certain degree, where he's going to be around him a lot more. We kind of saw that in the end of practice last season, but here's what he said about where he's going to be involved with the offensive line this spring.
No, I told Eric when I was – I didn't interview him. You know, I just, when I called him, I said, I'm going to be your GA. And so basically, we haven't done one-on-one pass pro yet because we haven't had to – well, they do it, you know, during team all the time. So basically, I'm his GA during any individual and then during Indy. And then I'm his GA during one-on-one pass pros and things of that nature. I just said it again. So I got about 30 minutes of responsible individual with the O-line each day.
That will not be the weakness of this team this year. It might not be the best position group, but it was the worst position group on the team last year, which was the most surprising thing about 2023. That will not be the weakness this year. If they lose, they're going to lose by other men. I don't know about this defense, but it's not. They're not going to lose games because of the offensive line like they did this past season.
Why do you think that? I'm just curious.
I think it's because Sam it was about as disgusted with himself and is disgusted with that unit that he's ever been since he started coaching.
But how does that translate to better performance?
But, I mean, you think that's the reason? I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, but I mean, you're just throwing that out there because Pittman's over there helping Mateos. Mateos is a pretty good coach.
Yes, but, again,
he knows what he's doing.
When you have such a weakness in one area, in business, in sports or whatever, you overcompensate, you overemphasize in that area next year or that following cycle, that following quarter, whatever the case may be. And there might be another area on this team that's vastly worse than it was this past season. It's not going to be the offensive line.
Do you think it was coaching or players last year?
It's a combination. And they've brought in, again, some guys. They'll bring in probably one or two more guys out of the portal, depending on how numbers shake out. It is not going to be the worst position group on the team this year, unlike last year.
I hope you're right, because
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just trying to figure out how you've come to that conclusion.
I think I just labeled it out.
Well, just,
right?
That's why I asked.
Yeah, just because Sam's over there, though, he doesn't have a magic wand.
No.
Here's my take on the offense right now from the outside looking in, and we're all very much from the outside looking in.
Very true.
But my take is that when you give someone the keys to the offense, you give them the keys to everything. It's not just about play calling. My take is, and I've always thought this about Petrino, he can coach every position on the field. I think he's coaching every position on the offense, and right now the head coach is working with the offensive line coach.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
It's amazing. We ask all the things we say too many times are wrong, man. The text machine's getting overloaded here. They do pay attention.
Emmett doesn't like that I say National Football League instead of the NFL. I feel like National Football League has like a stronger, manlier feel than just saying NFL.
You're trying to sound like NFL films when you say
that. Yeah, I don't have
that. National football.
The national. That guy's voice is incredible. I have just this like very high strung, high pitched voice at times. Still sound like I'm 12. Listening to guys like Kevin Harlan or the NFL films guy or various people that do radio talk shows. It's just like, man, that guy just has a radio voice. You just pipes. Wish you had the pipes.
He's got the pipes.
Oh, you just wish that. Like, even Kevin Harlan, I don't have the audio with me. He did this, like, promo for the new Halo show, and he just gets into anything he does. I'm like you, Tommy. They should have hired him. What was it, Fox? When Fox had an opening, I guess when Buck and, and Aikman left, they should have hired him.
Well, at this point, he is still with CBS.
Let's talk to Nelson and Harrison this morning. Nelson, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. I tell you, this morning's kind of rough, and being a hot take Monday, the thing with Jimmy Smith, you know, you hate to see that. I mean, these kids, you go recruit these kids and stay through the year. I mean, you know, don't be at practice one morning and somewhere else that evening. I think we're better off. I really think his running back room had taken a little bit of a step back because as bad as our offensive line was, our running backs were. I mean, our running backs last year, other than Augusta, I mean, they weren't cutting like they should. They weren't blocking like they should. I mean, so honestly, it may not be a big loss. And having Kobe Smith over, you know, and he knows Petrino, and maybe Jimmy Smith just didn't have a good rapport with Petrino. So that's my hot take on that. And man, I wake up this morning. What was I thinking? Tommy's going to protect the fraternal brotherhood of the referees, as he always does. It's like, come on, Tommy.
You didn't listen to what you did not listen to what I said.
He's going to tee you up,
Nelson. Get him.
He's going to tee you up, Nelson.
Did I defend that? No,
I think you did.
This is what you said, Tommy. I'll tell you what you said.
I said a hit.
You said if the offensive player is barreling into the defensive player. Then how do you call a foul?
That's a fact.
Mekhi Mitchell gathered himself, went up for the dunk. Pringle jumped into him, and Pringle was never vertical. Pringle's arm was extended forward
about
the whole
that.
Time.
I was talking
and then
in general,
him
Nelson.
On the head and the face.
I'm not
That's
talking about that.
I wasn't.
Why don't we just go flagrant two and just throw him out of the game?
So
I wasn't talking about
and
that.
The thing
play.
Of it was is. Your boys, the next play down, what do? They go down. Mekhi Mitchell standing straight up. Pringle falls over his own shoe lace, and they call Mekhi Mitchell with a foul. His hands, both of them, straight up in the air.
Well, let's get the record straight. I wasn't saying that play wasn't a foul because that's not what I said. What I'm saying in general is because, in generally speaking, because there's contact doesn't mean it's on the defensive player. I mean, again, get the potatoes out of ears and listen to what I'm saying. I'm not talking about the Mekhi Mitchell play. We were talking in general. When an offensive player runs into a legal defender, how do you call it a foul on a legal defender?
Nelson, should the SEC fire those officials? Should they can
them? This is what should happen. The SEC should make it just like the Auburn game with the backwards pass. They always come up with some kind of bull mess about, there wasn't no continuation for the football. Our guy was all over the football. Come on, SEC. Come on, officials. If you're gonna go out, you're gonna put on that striped shirt, you're gonna put that whistle over your neck. Don't be calling fouls protecting Grant Nelson, but he's got four and you're in there trying to foul him out and you keep protecting him. And at the end of the game, if there's a blatant foul that could be a flagrant one, because the neck and head area is off limit. Off limits, Tommy. It don't matter.
Yes, you're
if it's
right.
The last
with
minute,
the elbow. Yeah.
Whatever. So you know that should have been called.
I didn't say it shouldn't have been.
I believe 100% what Chuck said was right. How many times that battle went in, drove in, not got a foul call? The only reason that anything good came out of it was he made the shot. So why do you expect that kid to go in there and get hammered, get mud like he's down in Memphis, you know, in the middle of at 1 o'clock in the morning? Because you know those officials are thinking, Alabama needs to be in this seat. So let's go ahead and just drive in there and give them the – no. Battle, that ain't on battle. The whole game hinged on that play where our team was going to the basket hard and Alabama got away with the mugging. That's it.
Now, the one thing that was said earlier, let me say this. One thing that was said earlier, this was not an A crew.
Not even close.
None of these guys will be officiating the Final Four. Why? Because in the critical moments, they swallow their whistle. Those are not Final Four refs. They swallowed their whistle on that. I mean, it's as plain as the nose on, you know, nose on your face. Everybody can see that. Doesn't make them bad people. They'll keep getting assignments. But they're not going to work the Final Four.
No.
I mean, that's why they're not considered an A-list crew.
It's because the game... Yeah, this game didn't have it wasn't as high a leverage a game as, say, Kentucky and Tennessee, which had two of the marquee referees in the league in it.
I'm going to say one more thing about this crew, and I'm not going to name his name, but there was one member of this crew that's been around a while, and you've heard the term mailing it in? That's been going on for a while with this guy.
Matt was overly critical on the hog reaction of that. There was some bad officiating during the course of that game. Memphis kind of took a stray shot there during Nelson's call at this point. Sandy texted on the McCarty Daniel hotline saying that Nelson has already started drinking this morning. I'm going to be honest, Nelson. I tried to forget that Auburn game back in 2020, and then unfortunately you brought it to the surface. You started your call discussing Jimmy Smith, which I tend to think...
kind of veered off.
Yeah, and then he just...
That wasn't even a detour. Yeah, the whole new flight path.
Ripped on Tommy in the officiating.
Yeah.
I tend to think that based on how quick a running backs coach was named, I think this was a mutual parting.
I disagree. I think Chuck said. They have known for 4 or 5 days this was going on. Sam and Bobby, or Sam's the head coach. They've been working on this. They wanted to have a quick answer because of where you're at. I think we found out about it and there was an immediate answer, but I think when TCU started courting him and something was going to happen, I think Sam Pittman went to work on who the next coach was going to be 4 or 5 days ago, or 4 or 5 days ahead of the announcement. I bet a week ago Sam Pittman knew about this.
Last month.
But it could be both. It could be both.
Yeah.
You could be right, and Tommy, you could be right too if you really break it down.
Yeah.
But I'm more right.
I think you're right. You're making two separate points, to be honest. Sometimes you know that something's not going to work. You know.
But Jimmy Smith been a great recruiter.
Let me finish. You know something's not going to work. So you begin the process of making a change. The public doesn't find out about it for a week or so, but you know it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that happened here. I'm just saying sometimes it does.
And it's a time-honored tradition on Arkansas Sports Talk airwaves to utter the same phrase you hear Nelson Harrison say, "We're better off without him." That's my favorite phrase when a coach or player leaves any football, basketball, or baseball program here in Fayetteville. We're better off without him. Now, Derek in Fayetteville disagrees. He texted on the McCarty Daniel hotline saying that, "I think Jimmy is a big loss, but you don't leave your stinking team in the middle of the offseason." There's no great time really to leave your football team, whether it's the offseason or in season or whatever. Fans are always going to be overly critical of that. I don't have an issue. Again, I agree with you. I think it was gone a week, but I also think that maybe, again, like Chuck was alluded to, this was not going to work. And
I didn't say that. I said sometimes that's what happens. I'm saying you both could be right. I'm not saying that happened here, Ty.
I think Jimmy Smith is going to be replaceable on the field, and it's going to be harder to replace him as a recruiter. I think he's been a good recruiter from all accounts that I've read. I mean, from everything we've known, that I think that's going to be the hard part, is going out and replacing him on the recruiting trail. Because that's where
were 4-8. Let's not make too much out of this.
B says he doesn't have the heart of a Razorback. That's why.
Oh, that's ridiculous. We were 4-8. We're talking about a running backs coach like it's a big deal. Life will go on. We've changed position coaches a lot around here over the years. But
normally not after the second practice of spring ball.
But again, I don't think the success or failure of Arkansas's running backs next season is going to be contingent upon what day Jimmy Smith decided to go to TCU.
But I'm going to throw
it. I hear you. I just don't think it's that big a deal.
This is something I've heard college football assistants talk about. I've heard Clay talk about this. And I'm not saying this is necessarily why Jimmy Smith went another direction with the TCU, but coaches are always looking for that two-year or three-year situation or guarantee. Hey, I know I've got a job here for the next couple of years. And when things maybe aren't where they're at or aren't where you want them to be, coaches will look for other opportunities a little harder. So that happens too. These assistant coaches, you know, they'd like to know that, hey, for the next 3 years, I've got a good salary to take care of my family. And is TCU more stable right now than the head coaching situation at Arkansas? I'd say so.
Sonny Dykes is probably in a better situation than Sam Pittman. All right. So on the subject of Arkansas football, there's another all right. Sorry about that. The quarterback question mark has been something many people have asked about. Sam Pittman's going to get asked about it all offseason until he potentially makes a decision on who the starter will be exiting spring. And here's what he said about Talen Green being the first team quarterback.
Obviously, Talen has, we've seen some out of him before, you know, with the walks and all this kind of stuff and meeting time he puts in and all that kind of stuff. So it was different than throwing a guy in with the ones the first day of practice because the rules have allowed us to do more before practice starts. But I like where we're at with the quarterbacks. I think there's, you know, they're battling in there. And I think Malachi had a better day today than he did on Thursday. Chris is doing well. I'm like where KJ's at, and Taylor's doing a fine job. So I like where they're at. They like each other. They're competing hard against each other. And the one thing I'm seeing a little bit more out of them this year is they all seem to possess really good leadership qualities and take ownership of their own mistakes, but yet have really good leadership skills. That's what you have to have at the quarterback position.
So he's gotten the quarterback one reps, talking about Talen Green initially. Now, that is what they've done already. Here's the idea when asked about, hey, is he going to continue to be the quarterback one during spring ball?
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest with you. That'll be something after today's practice, and we'll meet this afternoon after we all get the tape watched, and I'll meet with the offense about 4:20 today, and assuming all the recruiting will allow us to get to that point. Then we'll decide what we do there. So that's just something I really don't know the answer to right now, to be honest with you.
I would like to see, again, he doesn't know just yet. I would like to see what Jacoby Criswell and Malachi Singleton can do with better players with the ones. But if he just rolls with Talen Green through spring ball in that and he locks it up, I understand if Sam Pittman and Bobby Petrino go that direction too.
Yeah, and it they're still figuring this out. Then you got to take the break. That's the one thing I've never understood or liked about.
You got spring break coming up, too.
It just gets disjointed. So
I wouldn't read just, we watch a couple of spring practices and see where guys line up and we start drawing conclusions.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
That's exactly right.
I think you can get in trouble doing that right now. They are going to look, whether it's the first day or right up until the final scrimmage. And we talk about combinations in basketball. Well, they look at combinations in football, too. And so you'll see guys with different groups that they may or may not be with when you get to the fall.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
So we were talking football a little while ago, and Arkansas, again, trying to figure things out under Bobby Petrino and the setup there and what that looks like. Got a chance to hear from Sam Pittman this weekend. Here's what he said on his offense taking to Bobby's coaching.
Seemed to be pretty good, doesn't it? We've got quite a bit in, and you can tell by the speed, you know, how fast does a guy play, or whether he's thinking about his assignment or he's thinking about where's my fit and what am I doing and what's my depth of my route and all that kind of stuff. So I think any time you are quoted as a good coach or a brilliant coach or whatever the terms that Bobby's had and thing, your ability first and foremost to teach, and then obviously your mind has to be a little bit different than others, but which his is, but it's ability to teach, it's ability to communicate, and he's exceptional at that, and I believe so is Ronnie Faust and Eric, and them, those guys have done a really good job of buying into Coach Petrino's system.
So he listed out Ronnie Faust, wide receivers coach, who Petrino's been with before, Eric Mateos, who Sam Pittman went out and got from Baylor, and just their connections with Bobby Petrino. I could be wrong about this, but... and maybe this is just typical of college football off seasons, but there's going to be way more attention paid to what Arkansas is doing on offense and defense from the fan perspective because of the Petrino aspect.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. You're right. No doubt about it. And they'll be fine over there. I don't have any worries about the offense. I think they'll be fine. I think they'll score points. I don't think they'll be perfect. I don't think you can just wave a magic wand and make everything great. But I know this, they'll be coached hard, and they'll be prepared, and the games will be fun because the week will be rough, and that's just kind of how it works. And so I think they'll be okay over there. I'm not worried about that side at all. You know, one of the things we've really not brought up is that, you know, Mateos and Colby Smith both were here as GAs. I mean, both these guys, in a sense, are coming back here. So, you know, there's a connection there, and Petrino's very familiar with Colby Smith, and obviously Pittman was very familiar with Eric Mateos. So that's why they're here.
If you're just jumping in with us this morning, multiple reports out there, Colby Smith is taking over for the departed Jimmy Smith, the new running backs coach at Arkansas. I hadn't got that confirmed yet, but it's basically there at that point. Men's basketball team falls in Tuscaloosa by 4 in overtime this weekend. Played well, just not enough. Here's what Eric Musselman saw from his team.
I mean, we look like a better basketball team, although we didn't win. It's a tough environment. Alabama's only lost 2 games on the year. One of them was a long time ago against Clemson. So hard building to play in. Really talented team. Final Four caliber talent-wise, and we controlled the game for 38 minutes or whatever it was. So we played good, but not good enough to beat Alabama on their home floor tonight.
See, at Vanderbilt, 6 o'clock on Wednesday. Then you'll play South Carolina if you win that game on Thursday around 2:45. Both those games on the SEC Network and, of course, right here on ESPN Arkansas, hitthatline.com, and our Hit That Line Now app. Chuck, I was trying to talk with Tommy about this earlier. It's, again, we're trying to grasp at straws here, but you kind of got a favorable draw based on some of the teams you'd avoid playing till Friday, potentially.
I do think the top half is a better draw, yes. Mm-hmm. But now the task is daunting. I think we all understand that. If you get caught up in the big picture, well, you might as well just go over there, get beat, and come home. I mean, if that's all you're going to do is just get caught up in the big picture. Because when you sit back and you think, gosh, they got to win 5 games in 5 days, nobody's ever done it. Seems impossible. Go beat Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
You know, go beat Vanderbilt. And then play, I guess it would be, South Carolina?
South Carolina.
Try to beat South Carolina. If you beat South Carolina, I guess you'd get Auburn. You know, and you just go out there and play. And you play like there's no tomorrow, because for some of them, there's not. And so you just can't get caught up in what has to happen big picture. You got to win the first 4 minutes against Vanderbilt and go from there.
And from that vantage point, that kind of brings up something for L. Ellis, for all the front court, Chandler Lawson. Now, I don't know if we're going to see Jalen Graham at all these next few days. For Makai Mitchell, these guys that are playing their final collegiate basketball game, wonder if it adds to the pressure or if it adds to their play, because that's entered their minds. It has to have. Like, this could be my final seconds in not just a Razorback uniform, but ever that I'll play college basketball again. So,
well, if you're out of eligibility, it will be the last minute you play college basketball. All of them are probably going to get opportunities to play in some form or fashion moving beyond here, whether it's in the United States or overseas, but at least for a little while. I don't know if that enters their thinking or not, Ty. I mean, you would, you'd think it would, but I don't know that. I mean, it's it's a different deal now.
I don't know if Musselman even allows it to enter their mind, but something I at least was contemplating over the weekend in regards to this team's thinking heading to Nashville. All right, last thing you're here in your Hog update, Dave Van Horn, very happy with Hagan Smith, and why wouldn't he be? Had another productive outing this weekend. Didn't play a lot, but sure looked good doing it.
Miss 1-2, struck him out swinging on a high slider. Strikeout number 9 to end the 4th inning for Hagan Smith. And that might be the last pitch he throws, with McIntyre continuing to warm up.
And I think it was on Phil's call, but here's what Dave Van Horn said just in why he pulled him. And it makes sense. It was on shorter rest for Friday.
You know, the first game, we had Smith on a pitch count, and when he got to it, that's why we didn't send him out for the 5th. It was kind of like, you know, he's pitching next Friday. We just don't want to ever overdo it, because he's going to be on one less day. He would have thrown 90-plus today if we were playing Friday. We would have, whatever. But we're trying to give him a little bit of a break, because he has less time, too.
And you mentioned Friday night's tickets are hard to come by, because everyone wants to watch Hagan play.
Right. Well, what I hear is the coach talking about routine and not wanting to disrupt the routine and keep him kind of on schedule. So, Chuck, you know a lot more about it than us, but it sounds to me like they want to be on the right routine and the right schedule headed into SEC play.
Well, you just want to make sure you're handling it right. And you want to, if you're a coach, generally you err on the side of caution in a situation like this. I think Hagan Smith's going to have a fine year, and I'm sure they'll handle him cautiously and, you know, probably let go of the reins as we get much, much deeper into the season. But I understand the way they're handling it right now.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.